to ask that question with me this morning. And then secondly, I think just as incredibly important is, how do you and I ensure that we live more consistently in a way where we can be intimate with God? And I think what you'll realize after this morning, all I want to do this morning is hopefully share with you some of the insights that I've come to. And prayerfully, you'll be able to take something from it. I'm sure if you were up here doing a message, you might share other things. We all have our story. It's to be convinced, and for me to convince and remind you of something that we are well persuaded of, right here in John 15. We're going to be reading there from verse 1 to 6. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. We'll just be reading to you there. Now, the book of John, as many of us know, is really the story of Jesus' life. And up until this point in Jesus' walk and in his life, before John 4:15, he has spent a great amount of time teaching his disciples and really anybody that would be casually following him about a whole host of different things. He's been teaching them about who he is. He's been teaching them about life in the kingdom of God. He's been teaching them about spiritual growth. I mean, at every occasion, Jesus was a teacher. He was a preacher. He had a lot to say. And very often through the book of John, if you study it, you'll realize that he makes a lot of I am statements. In John chapter 4, he says, I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah that was promised out of the Old Testament. I am that man. John 6, he says, I am the bread of life. That whoever comes to me, if they are hungry and they eat from me, they will never go hungry again. In John 9, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd, which makes you guys the good sheep. But I am the good shepherd. And then in John 14, just before the passage that we read, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he has spent a lot of time helping people to understand who he was. And now he arrives at the last great I am statement in the book of John. And he starts off in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine. Says, I am the true vine. And then he proceeds to lay down, I believe, a bedrock principle of spiritual growth. A bedrock principle of intimacy with God. And that you and I need to talk about and study. He says there, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, but Jesus really laying down to the disciples, he's saying, hey, guys, you're a bunch of branches. I mean, you know, that's what you are. You can turn to your left or to your right here this morning, and some branches are better looking than others. Some are stronger than others. Some have a better job than others. But you're a branch. That's what you are this morning. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and you are a branch. And then he says that if you remain in me, being a branch, and I will remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And says, if you bear fruit, my Father, who is the gardener, he will spend time pruning you so that you can even grow to become more fruitful. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound comfortable to me, being pruned by God. And often we want to avoid those situations, but it says if we start bearing fruit, God even starts pruning us more as being the perfect gardener so that we can be more fruitful in our walk with him. So he's really laying down something very important here, that the vine is the source of life. The branches cannot bear fruit without remaining in the vine. You can never bear fruit by yourself. If you and I detach ourselves from the vine, if we stop being intimate with the vine, if we start being incredibly connected to the vine, then we stop bearing fruit. and we become a dead branch. And then the Bible says those branches are cut off and they are tossed to the side, burned up. Yeah, so Jesus is really getting it into right here that for you and I, if we want to be bearing fruit, we need to remain in the vine. He says that over and over again. Verse 4, remain in me. Remain in me. Verse 5, remain in me. Verse 6, remain in me. Verse 7, remain in me. Verse 8, later on, or verse 9, says remain in me. Stay close to me. Because I am the true vine. I am the source of life for you. I am the one that can help you to bear fruit. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to bear fruit. I want to, in my Christian walk, I want to be useful to God. I want to be in a position where my life counts for something. And not just that, but on a continual basis that I'll grow to become more and more like Christ as the years roll by. Then Jesus says, then we must remain in the vine. There is no other way. But what does it look like to remain in the vine? What does it mean to have this truly intimate connection with the vine? What does it mean to be truly intimately connected with God? To have intimacy with God? You know, I think for myself, through many different examples, Old and New Testament, I mean, the first guy that probably comes to mind for me is David. If you read the Psalms of David, you get the idea of what intimacy with God really is about and what it means to remain in the vine. You know, I think of where in Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. He says, man, if I can ask God for anything, then it is that I can stay close to him, that I can gaze upon his beauty, that I can continually seek him. Yeah, Psalm 16, verse 2, he says, apart from you, he's talking about God, he says, apart from you, I have no good thing. Now think about who David was. This guy was the ruler of a nation. He's won incredible victories. You know, the war stories abound. People are singing about the greatness of David and what he has achieved in his life. He is married. He's got kids. He's got treasure. He's got wealth. I mean, he rebuilt Jerusalem. He's got temple courts, different things. And yet, his intimacy with God is at such a place where he says, apart from you, God, I have no good thing. Everything compared to you is nothing at all. I mean, you know, later on in another psalm, it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. Your love is better than life. In Psalm 63. I mean, how's that for a statement? Saying, you know, as I'm running around in this desert where there's no water, it says, my soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you, God. I want to be close to you. Your love is better than life. There's nothing greater in my life. And when I read those psalms, you just see it. It jumps off the page about what intimacy with God is all about. It's a seeking. It's a longing. It's a hunger for God. You know, I think of another guy. I think of Moses when I think about intimacy with God in the Old Testament. I think of his burning bush experience. Yeah, he's out in the desert, man. He's been tending flocks for 40 years. All of a sudden, he walks past this burning bush. I think of that experience that he has. I think of the Mount Sinai experiences that he has. When he goes up on the mountain, and it describes literally like a cloud covered the mountain. And for 40 days, he would stay up there, not eating, not drinking at all, just spending great time with God. And it says when he comes down from the mountain, when he steps out of the tent of meeting, his intimacy with God is visible. Says that his face was radiant. And people were like, dude, what's going on there? But that's intimacy with God. I love in Exodus 33 when he hit sort of a certain wall. And he said to God, hey, look, I know that you've told me that I need to lead these people. I just want to remind you that they're your people. And you never said you're going to send with me. God's like, okay, let me comfort you. I'll send my presence with you. And then Moses says, no, God, I don't think you understand. If you don't send your presence with me, don't send me up from here. Because what else distinguishes me and your people than your presence? It's intimacy. That my identity and who I am and the value and the worth that I had is completely connected to my relationship and intimacy with God. Please don't give me assignment if you're not coming with me. Please don't send me to do that if you are not right by my side. It's intimacy. I think of Jacob. Many of us know the story where he wrestled with God through the night. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to picture that in your mind, what that actually looks like. I mean, you know, I really don't know what that looks like. But he's on the ground, he's wrestling it out, and he says to God, hey, I'm not going to leave you alone until you bless me. I'm going to keep going at this. But he spends a night wrestling with God, saying, hey, I want you to bless me. It's intimacy. It's intimacy that does that. I think of Paul. Boy, it is just so evident and clear that intimacy with God was just, and intimacy with Jesus was just so important to him. You know, I think it's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It should be on the screen. He says, my determined purpose is that I might know him. He's talking about Jesus. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. I mean, he writes to the Christian and says, hey, this is my determined purpose, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Jesus. For Paul, it wasn't just good enough to know about Jesus or to believe in Jesus. He's like, hey, I want to grow. I want to be more intimately acquainted with Christ. That's what I live for. It's my relationship with him. I think in the New Testament of the sinful woman washing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping it with her hair. I think of Mary and Martha and the situation there in Luke chapter 10 where Mary was just enjoying the moment of Jesus, sitting at his feet, listening what Jesus was busy teaching and what he was saying, while Martha's running around all over the place. You know, those for me are things, when I think about intimacy with God, and I think Old and New Testament, those are pictures that come to mind for me. Those are examples of what we could be having with God. That is what it means to remain. Now, I don't know about you, but very often if I think about David, if I think about Moses, if I think about Jacob, if I think about Paul, I think about those list of individuals, then I start wondering, is intimacy with God not maybe reserved for the perfect? Perfect might be a bit strong. Is intimacy with God not really reserved for the uber, uber spiritual? Those people that have it all together. Is intimacy not maybe reserved for those individuals? And then if you really study the Bible and you go through that list again, you realize, boy, they were men and women that had a lot of issues. That had a lot of hang-ups. I mean, they are not perfect by a long shot, but yet they were intimate with God. Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages my heart. So I know there's one thing about me. I've got issues. I've got hang-ups. I've got a long way to go, but yet it gives me faith that I can be intimate with God. Now, if I think about my own life and intimate moments that I had with God, I think of things like last year. If I think about times when I've really remained in the vine, last year was a time for me where I really went through a stage where I was stuck in sort of a reoccurring sin in my life. And it was one of the things that I just, through sheer willpower and diligence, I really tried to rectify it in my own power, but I just got more and more frustrated, thinking to myself, how do I overcome this? How do I grow through this? I don't know if you've ever felt that, but, you know, I was at a stage like that. And then, as God has it, and his mercy and his grace, he helped me to find individuals that can truly help me with what I was wrestling with and battling with. And I remember that time. I remember how all of a sudden it became so clear that the issue that I was struggling with was not a shallow issue, but it was a multifaceted issue. And it was actually an issue that had to do with my relationship with God and my intimacy with him. I remember having it was like a light bulb moment that went off in my head. And I remember just being filled with such a desire and an earnestness to seek God through that time. And I think of moments like that. That was a time when I was really intimate with God. I think of spiritual retreats that I've had. You know, normally I would go to Elgin Valley. I think of a time in Eland's Bay where I would travel out to Eland's Bay and just have a time where I'd be alone with God. I'd be walking on a beach, a kilometer per kilometer, and no one in sight. And it's just me and God, where I could pour out my heart to him. I'd say, God, this is what's happening. These are my desires in my life. These are things that I'm wondering about. I think of moments where I would paddle out and I'd sit in the ocean while I'm surfing and I would scoop up water in my hands and it would filter through my hands. And I think about the fact that the Bible says in Job that God measured out the oceans in the hollow of his hand. And I think, wow, here I am. I get to surf the ocean that God has created. And the water is as much as the water is in the palm of my hand. My Father must have a big hand. He's a big dude. And I have moments like that where I just felt so incredibly connected to him and intimate. I think of a number of years ago when we were students traveling with James Lapperman and Fungai and Alicia and Maura up to Namibia. And I remember we didn't realize at the time, we didn't realize at the time. Let me leave it there. But Namibia had daylight saving at that time. And we traveled up to the Fish River Canyon by ice. And the diligent students of the scriptures that James and myself are, we thought we're going to set our alarm so we can have a great quiet time before we leave the next morning. So we set our alarm for what we thought, I think it was 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And we read our Bibles. We got, it is pitch dark. There's no lights. No one else is awake. We're the only ones. We are standing in the Fish River Canyon crying out to God, saying, God, this is awesome. We just love this. I mean, being in awe. And we come back and we realize that Namibia was on daylight saving. So it ended up being about, I don't know, about 3 or 3:30 in the morning. We've already had our quiet times and now we're sitting there sort of waiting for the day to start. So we probably should have known better, but I remember a time like that. I remember just standing in the Fish River Canyon crying out to God with one of my best friends, just thinking, does it get any better than this? Even though it's 3 o'clock in the morning. This is awesome. I mean, those moments just fill my heart. I think of being in our family farm in Namibia, in the south of Namibia, and being able to take sort of like a camping chair and sit right in the middle of the bush and the field. And I look around me, there is nothing. There's just kameel-deering trees in front of me. I can walk on red Kalahari sand. That burns my feet a little bit. So you run from one sort of piece of shade to the next. But it's such a fun time with God where there's no one else around me. And I could just, I'm filled with nature and I could just, it feels like I get it. It feels like I really understand what it's about. I have those moments. Now, I don't know about you, but, in times like this, in times like that, when I'm just so intimate with God, I feel completely at peace. I feel at peace with life. I feel at peace with myself. I feel that, even though things are not panning out the way that I thought they would, even though there's a little bit of turmoil going on, because I'm connected with God, there's just a sense of incredible peace that fills my heart. I think of joy that I feel. There's a bounce in my step, man, when I'm connected to God, when I'm intimate with Him. There's a certain energy where I don't need that much sleep. Because, man, God sustains me. I'm close to Him. Here's one of the things that I've realized. And by my intimate moments with God. Is many of my most intimate moments is when I realized my complete dependence on Him. Now, that normally happens in two ways for me. The first one is when I get who I truly am. When I really get how powerless I am over my own sin. When I really get how limited I am in my perspective and in my intellect and my energy, whatever it might be, then I realize my dependence on God. Or when I see God for who He is, those ocean moments where I realize how big God is, or I'm in nature and I realize how, when I get my dependence on God, when I get that Jesus is the vine and I am a branch, that is what drives my intimacy. And it is a wonderful thing to have a branch mentality. It is a wonderful thing to know that you are merely a branch and that really your life and your fruitfulness depends on being connected to the vine. But those are my experiences. Those are kind of my stories. I believe in here this morning, I think all of us have our moments where we've been close to God. I believe if you were up here this morning, I'm sure you'd be able to share with us just different times where you felt just intimate with God and incredibly connected with Him in a certain sense. And I think one of the very important questions that I think we got to ask ourselves is, how do we normalize those moments? Because what I found is very often in those times, those intimate moments might last the prayer time. It might last a day. Sometimes it might last a week. Sometimes it might last months. But those are moments. And I think a very important question for you and I to ask is, how do we normalize those moments? How do you and I get to live more consistently being intimate with God and being intimately connected with God? Where it's not just sort of a fleeting or a brief moment that we have, but it's really our lifestyle. It's where our hearts are at more consistently. And I think that we're all a little bit different on this. I think what helps me to feel intimate with God is not necessarily what will help you to feel intimate with God. I think we're all very different, depending on your temperament, depending on your personality, depending on where you are in your spiritual journey or spiritual development. I think we'll all be very different. And I think sometimes the temptation is to think, hey, what works for Jacques, what works for someone else will work for me. Not necessarily. Because I believe intimacy with God is not mass-produced, but it's really handcrafted. It's something that is unique to you. So you got to figure it out. I don't know what to tell you with that. But that's a question that you and I need to pursue. That's a question that you and I need to ask. Is what will help me to feel intimate with God? What are decisions that I can make to live that way more consistently, where it's not just a moment and a brief time, but it's consistent in my life? I also believe that it will change with time. So maybe what helped me to feel intimate with God 5 years ago is not necessarily what's going to help me today. Or what is helping me today to feel intimate with God is not necessarily what will help me in a year from now. So it's really a question that I think we got to ask in our hearts. And it's a question that you and I need to go after about how do we live that way more consistently? What is it for me, for my personality type, my temperament, where I am in my life, in my life phase? What are some of the things that can really help me to truly be intimate with God on a more consistent basis? You know, I believe the truth of the matter is, as Jesus says here in John 15, that being intimate with God changes everything. Being intimate with God is one of the most important things that you and I can pursue in our lives. If you and I want to bear fruit, if you and I want to have a heart that's content and joyful, we need to pursue intimacy with God. I also believe that intimacy will look different for you and I. But you got to figure out, what does true intimacy actually look like? What did it look like for men and women in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, New Testament? And what does those intimate moments mean for me? And I think it's important for us to be able to go back there and ask that question again. And then I believe we need to answer the question for ourselves and figure out how to answer that concerning how do we take those moments and actually normalize them where they're not just a brief moment, but it's actually a consistent way of living. I believe if we come up with the answer to that question, I believe not only will we be more content and more happy, not only will we feel close to God, but I also believe that we will grow. Because that is what Jesus promises. So if we're intimately connected with Him, if we remain in the vine, then we will be able to grow and be fruitful in our lives. Why don't we close out with a prayer?